All right, here's another episode from the Barcamp Open Science. Konrad Förstner speaking here, and with me is again Simon and Bartosz, right? Okay. So, Simon, maybe you can introduce yourself again. I know we just had another session, but if somebody was not listening to that episode, maybe you can give a quick intro.
Yeah, hi. My name's Simon Worthington. I'm the editor of Generation Research, which is an open science blog for the Open Science Research Alliance.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bartosz Radomski. I'm a scientific communication and outreach manager for Science Open, which is a research and network platform.
All right, and we had a small session. I think you said you did this rather spontaneously, but it was very nice, and I think it was very informative for all participants. What was it about?
Well, we were covering two things. So preprints and how preprints are working, what's important about them, what can be done with them, and open peer review. So those two things.
And if we look at those, I think that was your point, Simon. Preprints are good for, let's say, a speedy way of getting research out there, but it's more than this. And this is what was basically your focus there, right?
Yeah, I think across both of our contributions, we could see that, a preprint functions differently. There's a lot fewer steps. There might only be one or two steps to publishing rather than a review process. So even with the best intentions, a journal might take minimum 3-6 months to publish, whereas a preprint is essentially can be same day. So yeah, there's that barrier. But then it's looking at, I suppose two things, like it as a place of innovation, because there are many players coming into the market, you might call it. But it's also what you can do with it. So open peer review becomes part of preprints.
Let's maybe have a look at the open peer review. So what kind of tools are there? What have you discussed in the session?
So in the session, I showed a demo of what Science Open offers, what sort of infrastructure it has for researchers who are interested in having their research reviewed or interested in reviewing the research themselves. And the two main features that are available on the platform for the community and free of charge is the open peer review system and the post-publication peer review system. And in my opinion, these systems work great because they capitalize on openness and transparency, which eliminates lots of problems that are intrinsic to closed peer review that, you know, sometimes it's just lacks accountability. And throughout the demo, we could see the names of the authors, the names of the reviewers, and the contributions, and their thoughts on specific preprints or already published publications. And the main takeaway of showing these systems of peer review was that the community already has all the infrastructure in place and they can use it and experiment freely if they want to have a more comprehensive systemic change in the peer review system.
I think this is one thing that was also, or that we saw in this, that there's a lot of players now, as you said, Simon, that are basically preparing a new field for playing actually with how we do research and how we communicate actual research. This was a rather hands-on session. What are you maybe your personal conclusions or your own visions in terms of that? This was maybe a little bit spontaneous, but maybe you can draw what you taking out of this and where you would like to see this in the future.
Yeah, I think you can see that preprints need to be tightly coupled with open peer review, because you've got a relatively unmediated flow of content. So the review is a way to help make sense of what is there. I saw some figures that were published from ASAP Bio, and you're looking at over 6,000 preprints per month. And is actually growing above that. That's the end of 2019. So it looks like there are many different types of open peer review needed. So two examples I was showing, one was by what is called pre-review. So not just pre-print, but pre-review. So a service called pre-review, and they have a website called outbreak.prereview.org, which is specifically looking around the area of, well, contagious diseases. So around coronavirus, it happens to be out at the same time. And they offer like essentially a multiple choice questionnaire to add like one layer of quality. It's different from what is being done with Open Science, which is looking at something much more integrated into a community where someone gives consent for something to be reviewed. This is out in the wild. You just elect a paper to be reviewed. Other things like Plaudit, a service which is really like a like button, but there is an authentication of the person liking, and the data it stores about that is being stored in an open way. So I think across the board, whatever your flavor of review, the openness is not just the acknowledgement of the content, like who is the reviewer, what is there, but also that the data around it is open.
And also one of the comments during the session was that the standard peer review has some questionable quality sometimes. And we found together that the open system is a way to address it in a sense that transparency encourages best practice, civil behavior, good quality of reviewing work just because your name is attached to it. And and the content of the review can be easily identified with the offer. And overall, it seems that this could be one of the most attractive points of actually transitioning towards open science. Not only do reviewers get credit where credit is due, but also in terms of a more global change, we're pushing and endorsing best practices in the whole scientific community.
Okay. The end session is waiting for us, so unfortunately we have to wrap up, and I would love to talk with you about this for much longer. So thank you for your time, and see you around. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.